Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is continuing coverage of the 2024 NFL Combine, live from Indianapolis on Steelers Nation Radio. Brought to you in part by Calusi Chevrolet, serving the Pittsburgh area for over 100 years. By Schneider Downs. Discover the value of big thinking with a personal focus at SchneiderDowns.com. By S&T Bank. Proudly serving our community since 1902. STBank.com. By First National Bank. Let's get started. Member FDIC. And by Iron Workers Local Union Number 3. They don't go to the office, they build it.
Early and I recently had that same discussion, Pat.
Yeah, welcome back to Indianapolis, site of the NFL Combine 2024. Jerry Dulac of the Post Gazette, along and the Steeler Radio Network, along with Dale Lawley of Steeler Nation Radio and the Steeler Radio Network, and of course, Max Starks, the sideline reporter for the Steeler Radio Network, former Steeler tackle. It's our hour two. It's hour five of our wall-to-wall coverage here from the Radio Row in the Indiana Convention Center. Me, Dale, and Max will take you up until 2 o'clock, and then Dale, Matt, and Max, right?
Yes.
Is the next rotation.
Yes.
From two to whatever time.
2 to 3 with Max, and then Matt and I finish it up with the final hour ourselves.
There you go. And you'll go wander off to some other responsibility you have. Right?
I'm sure I'll go forage or talk or, you know, who knows? I might even pop in one of those little alcoves and take a nap.
There you go.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Spacious.
Let me know what night you plan to go to Giordano's, because I want to go the other night to make sure they still have pizza when I go.
I share. I mean, there's a reason why there's a 40-minute window for when you order the pizza, you know.
I'm just going to fill you up
with other stuff.
I'm going to just tell you right now, I'm going there Wednesday.
So. Okay, you're going Wednesday. I'll go
there. Tell me what time. I'll go an hour before you.
Okay, or I can go an hour later. Whatever makes it happier for everybody. But the beer doesn't stop, though. That's the
beer does not. Yeah,
the taps never go dry.
That's exactly right. We haven't had a chance to talk a little bit about the players after our last two guests. We went to Tennessee the last two segments. We're going to talk with Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com in this hour as well. You know, we were talking about possibilities. Inside linebacker. All of a sudden. Maybe in free agency, and the draft is the center position. Mason Cole was released. Not a shocker. I know that they wanted to upgrade the position. They would have been happier with Mason. Mason was like the perfect backup center, backup guard. They wanted to upgrade the position. You typically don't see centers go in the first round. Typically, I think we've seen just two in the last 4 years. Steelers did it with Marquise Pouncey. I don't know that there's a Marquise Pouncey in the draft, but the kid from Oregon is very intriguing. What have you seen? What do you like? And do you think that's a possibility in round one?
I think that's a very real possibility. I love Jackson Power Johnson. First of all, he fits the size. He's on the all-bus, get-off-the-bus team.
He's big enough to ride the ride.
Yes, yeah. He is. You don't question it. And
did you say the all-butt team?
The all-bus team.
Oh, bus, because I was going to say.
Get-off-the-bus team.
I got you.
Those are guys you want walking off the bus first to show your team, yeah.
I thought when you said he was all-butt, I thought he was the kind of guy that you show the 2022 and 2023 highlight film on each side of his.
I was shocked at the Senior Bowl. Because, you know, a lot of these times you see guys and they're listed at one thing and you get it close to him, you're like, yeah, he's not 6'3".
Yeah.
Jackson Powers Johnson is 6'3".
Yeah, he is.
Now, he
big,
may not be
dude.
All the way to 6'3", but he's easily over 6'2".
Yeah.
You know, he's much closer to 6'3" than he is 6'1", which is usually the way that goes. If he's listed as 6'3", he's 6'. Yeah. You know, he's closer to 6'1". And I was really shocked. You know, they weighed him in down there and it was 330-plus pounds because he doesn't look it.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he carries the weight well.
Yeah, he's very lean, and he has a good body build, right? You know, you worry about some guys, maybe they maxed out their body, and they kind of over imploded on size, or they're underdeveloped. He's more of a right where you need him to be. I mean, he fits his shoulders, hips, knee, ankle, everything's in structure or in symmetry. And you see it on the film.
Yeah.
You see the explosiveness at the center position, especially when you look at Oregon's offense, right? I mean, there's a lot of pre-snap motion, a lot of IDs that have to be made. He was on point. I mean,
a lot of what Arthur Smith likes to do.
Yeah, Arthur Smith loves the window dressing. So having a guy who's used to that already coming in, I think, is a big bonus, especially for the Steelers. And then he has the size. He can reach the second level. He's a guy who could secure a double team block and not allow leakage. He can one-on-one block. Snap hand quickness is very good for him. So he's one of the few outliers, I think. And if you're talking about a guy, hey, we've got a need and we need to fill it, I think he's a guy that you set it and forget it. This guy could be a 10-year starter. I mean, the way that his skill set's already set up, there's not as much learning curve coming in for him.
And the thing that I loved, a couple of things I loved about him, he turned 21 while we were down at the Senior Bowl.
So he's 24. Still,
yeah, not right, 24, yes. Which you see a lot of that coming out because of the COVID stuff. And also, as I was watching him at the practices, every run, when you'd look down, he's running along behind or beside the running back down the field. Like, he's finishing blocks, and he's getting to the set next level, and then still looking for somebody else to hit.
Yeah, he's what we call a last seen guy.
Yeah.
So the last frame of the picture, you want to see that number in the frame that they're taking, whatever it is. And so that's something that, you know, is a special trait, because you're always looking for that for offensive line, because that shows tenacity, that shows hustle, and that shows want to, because most guys block their guy, stop, look at the play downfield. Yeah. No, he's a guy.
He's going looking for somebody else.
I'm looking for extra work.
Yeah.
And I'm also looking to finish a guy when I can, because that was one of the things. I might not have been the fastest guy, but I was going to finish someone that was in or around the pile staring, because I knew that was going to give my guy an extra. Or if you get into a scrum and you're standing up, right? How many times we see that for the Steelers year, right? Where Najee's not stopping his legs and they're not blowing the whistle.
All of a sudden, it's just
a wave coming forward. Broderick Jones has that touch to him. So adding another guy, especially your center, right? That's that quarterback of the offensive line. If you're seeing the leader do it, why am I not doing it? And you saw throughout the year, he brought the level of play for the rest of his linemen up because of his actions and his leadership. And I think that's another thing that's indispensable at the center position.
The other thing that he did at the Senior Bowl, Mike Tomlin's down on the field as he always is, you know, for that first day down there. Jackson Powers Johnson goes over, runs over, shakes Mike Tomlin's hand. I asked him about it after practice. I just wanted to meet him. I I know who he is. I've heard a lot about him. I just wanted to go over and shake his hand and meet him.
Can't beat that.
There's a lot there to like.
Yeah.
There's a lot there to like.
Yeah, and at pick number 20, chances are he's not going to go above that, so he should be available. If anything, he's obviously 20 and below. The last center picked in the first round was Tyler Lindebaum, who was 25.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Cesar Ruiz, of all people,
yeah.
2 years prior to that. So in the last 4 years, there's only two centers picked in the first round. Only one of them amounted to anything. But, they're not a high commodity. And we also see guards who were picked who were transitioned to center. This guy's a center. He is a big, thick guy who can move. And he looks like an, I don't want to say an obvious, but a Steeler pick. Nobody should be surprised.
No, you shouldn't be surprised by that. And I think, you know, when we're talking about the needs for this team, if you're coming in starting a new offense, new coordinator, and you're trying to get your quarterback behind said center who will be delivering him the football, go upgrade the security force for that guy.
Yeah.
And that guy's an instant upgrade. You put him at the front of the VIP, in front of the velvet ropes, and he doesn't let anybody in that's not on the list.
Right.
You know, that's the type of guy he is. And I think, you know, Mason Cole being released is a telltale sign that this is a priority for us within the first 2 days. Like, you've got to hammer that out. Because I don't think in free agency there's a lot of great options. So I think draft is probably where you want to look at that. And we have Nate Herbig.
It's going to be my next question to you.
Yeah.
As a backup.
Yeah, Nate Herbig's a backup, and he's the interior three swing. And we've seen Nate do all three of those positions. And everybody feels comfortable. Pat Meyer loves him. You know, I love him. I love watching Nate. I love his demeanor. And he's always ready to go. Like, I mean, he's one of those guys like, hey, Nate, you're about to go in. He gives you like, good. He just goes out there and plays.
He's kind of built like a refrigerator, I think.
He is.
He's just kind of square.
Yeah, the old school with the silver pole handle, you know.
You know, tackle is what you guys mentioned before. A lot of prospects. Also very intriguing. Last year on Dan Moore's contract, would that surprise you if they went there? Let me preface everything by saying, Andy Weidel's philosophy is the lines of scrimmage. And so when he's going to compile a draft board, what he likes, that's one of the areas. And we saw that last year, free agency and the draft changing three of the guys right off the bat.
Yeah, I think you can expect to tackle somewhere in this draft. I don't think it's as high a priority because you went up and got Broderick a year ago. You're not going to do that 2 years in a row at the edge position when there's a glaring need on the interior. But I think it's something that they're going to address. Either something value happens at the end of day two when that third round pick comes, or possibly one of those two fourth round picks, you'll see a tackle that may have slipped and fell and been in that area that you're like, oh, we didn't expect him to be here. That's a good value for him. But I don't think they're going to be after those high dollar guys at the beginning of this draft, those top five guys. And personally, I think you can wait on that position because of the depth at the tackle position.
It's really, really good. I mean, there's some dudes later, like the kid from BYU, Sua Mataia.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at round two or three for him. And he could, I thought he was strong at the Senior Bowl as well. And looks like he could step in and be a long-term, maybe not right away, but a guy that you can develop. Delmar Glaze from Maryland is another one that's, there's some guys.
I like Corey Bullock. Other kid from Maryland, transfer from Central.
Okay.
I really like him as well.
Christian Jones from Texas had a strong Senior Bowl. So, I mean, there's guys into that third and fourth round that are going to be there. And the beauty of it is, you know, how many teams are going to take two?
Yeah, exactly.
So if you have the run on them early and everybody fills up with first round offensive tackles, some of those guys end up slipping a little bit farther than what maybe they should because of the value of the position, because everybody got them in the first round. Now they got to go fill other needs.
And you got all those new teams that also say we're taking best available. And then all of a sudden it ends up being a random pick. I mean, granted, we don't have Bill Belichick, so we don't get the random Cole Strange pick, you know, that comes out of the first round. Like, and you have Sean McVay talking about, I had him picked for the fifth round when we were going to draft him. So, but I think this year, that's something you have to think. Sorry.
That's okay.
That's right.
You know, to that point, though, too, Max, I love this idea that people talk about that. Will they take the best athlete available? I go, they take the best athlete available at the position that they need.
Exactly.
And the only time you take the best athlete available is when you're the Super Bowl champ and your roster's loaded. And you go, we could use that guy.
Right. We got four of them, but we'll take a fifth.
Otherwise, you're taking the best athlete available at the position you need.
Yeah, and I think – and that's where people kind of get misguided in this process because it's the hot thing to say or to justify a bad pick. It's like, well, he ran a 4.19 40. No, you needed a wide receiver. That's why you drafted this kid.
Right.
Don't act like you had 17 wide receivers. You're taking him from your rival in the division. But you're right. I mean, I think corners is going to be intriguing because once they get a run – then people feel like, oh, my God, I got to stockpile. I got to get this because he won't be there the next time I pick. So you get a little bit of that kind of angst or FOMO, so to speak. And that can also cause, like you said, those valuable guys to kind of drop a little bit. And now there's a great value for him. I mean, I think about, Joey Porter Jr. last year, right? You know, everybody's like, oh, my God, well, if we don't pick him when we pick, we're not going to get him. And then, like you said, you had a little bit of wonkiness in the 20s, right? Tyler Linderbaum goes.
Yeah.
That was a position I'm sure they didn't think a center was going to go at that point. So now you bump him back one, and then we can get him right at the beginning of day two. And you found out great value in him. I'm sure just teams have been like, dang it, why don't we take him, even at 27 or 28, whatever it was.
One of the things the Steelers have to decide and will probably decide sometime soon is what they're going to do with Allen Robinson. Do $10 million in real money this year. He's kind of the third, fourth receiver, however you want to look at it, if they move on from him. Now, the inflated salary cap will maybe help keep him, even though I still think they're going to have to redo his deal. But nonetheless, now all of a sudden wide receiver comes into play. Dale, you mentioned earlier it's a strong class for wide receivers. Seems to be every year anymore. Where does wide receiver, do you think, fit into their plans?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at end of day two, day three. I mean, I think that's also that sweet spot for the two fourth-round picks, the luxury that you have. And we still don't know compensatories yet. If you get something else,
I don't think they will. Yeah,
the
projections don't have them getting
what the comp picks.
Comp pick,
I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
So, even at that, you look at some of the guys that might be available in that second and third round, even into the fourth round. Javon Baker from UCF, who was at Alabama, I think is really interesting. Bigger guy. The Ricky Pearsall.
Ricky Pearsall is one of the ones that I really like a lot because Ricky can do it all, and he can play everywhere.
Yeah.
He's a kid that's really, really sound and technical in his route running. And so you can see there's an attention to detail and a value there. But you played for Florida. There's one times where the Gators are not at a strength and a run dominant offense.
Right.
So he made these splash plays, but he didn't have consistent, because most kids are catching 100, 120 balls coming out now a year. Yeah. And he has that lower number. So that might hide him a little bit.
Same thing with like Roman Wilson from Michigan. I mean, they just ran the football.
So, you don't really know what they have. You just know they produced when the ball was thrown in their direction.
Yeah.
And that's all I care about. I was like, hey, when it was called upon, you're ready to go.
Yeah, because I you know, you're not going to look at that in the first round. You're just not. I mean,
wide receiver?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
And, when you get to round two, that pick in the 50s, that's kind of that sweet spot for those second round guys. And, maybe even into the third, you might be able to get a guy. What do you think of Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky as well?
I do like it. And because of Western Kentucky's offense, kid gets a lot of volume. He's good in those short catch and runs, especially if you're looking at number three receiver, right?
Yeah.
We're not asking him to run Deontay or George's routes. We need him to be in that sweet spot in the slot. We need you to be able to pull that nickel down, take off the double coverage. Safety has to now come a little bit more so you can get over the top. I think he's a very versatile guy in there, and he catches in traffic, which I love about him.
And then breaks tackles. And
breaks tackles, and he's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not quite Tyreek Hill. But I mean, he has a lot of the things that we value. I think that's going to be valuable in Arthur Smith's offense.
Yeah. So there's some of those guys in that second, third round guys that I think would fit that.
Jermaine Burton from Alabama is another one.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll throw him in there. But he's a taller, kind of power forward type in the middle of the field. So he complements like a tight end passing game, which also Arthur Smith likes. Because imagine running an underneath route with him. Yeah, Freiermuth running the seam. And he cuts underneath. That boom right there. I have two options. Do I go over the top or do I want to hit him on a little short route? So I think there's a lot of that value. And that's why I think the wide receiver is so deep, because like you said, you can go in so many different directions. These kids come out now and they're ready, they're pro ready, because they've gotten the volume. No longer is the day like, oh man, this kid got 60 catches, awesome. it's like, no, if you got 80, it's like, what were you doing?
Right,
Let's check the offense.
And so, he's been going to passing camp since he was 8.
Exactly. He's been at the Manning Passing Academy. He's been a 7-on-7 travel leagues nowadays. I mean, because everybody's ready for that.
And, not that you want to look too far ahead like a whole year, but, taking into account, well, two things. One, the Steelers never turn their back on a skill player. If there's a skill player they like, they are tempted to take him, especially a wide receiver.
Yeah.
They're going to do it. And two, Deontay Johnson's deal was up at the end of the year. And, we'll see what they do. They're not going to make a decision now. But, it's not a slam dunk that they're going to extend him again. And so maybe if there's a wide receiver, you think, okay, 1 year with him, and then they'll slot him into that position if you move on. I know that's another year at this point down the road. But that's part of the thought process as well.
Yeah, no, you have to, and this is the thing. This is the blueprint and template. When you're setting up generational success, or you're setting up generational, success for your team, it has to be thought about, how do we grow these guys through the draft? And how do we continue to build that stockpile, right? And that was what the Steelers did for a very long time.
Right,
and now,
right.
Because there's so many other needs, you don't really focus on that. But the Steelers have always been attentive. We're always going to have a good wide receiver. There's always going to be a value wide receiver. If anything, I could say Mike Tomlin's eye for a wide receiver is probably the best in the league for seeing what a guy's talent and getting extracting the most out of those guys, just historically. And so if there does come a guy, I think that's where you kind of see it, right? You see at the end of day two, beginning of day three, where you got a little bit more flexibility. And if I need to jump 1 to 2 picks, at that point in day three, you're not giving up a lot of resources at that point. But I think, you have to couple wide receiver, inside linebacker, tackle, and D-tackle kind of all in the same tier of priority. And so however it falls in there, like we can predict, hey, this is what I'd love to have. But it's going to be some hits in there where it's like, I wasn't anticipating that, but glad you got him, right? Almost like a Nick Herbig.
Yeah.
It's like, we do need it, but we brought in all these veterans, but he's there.
Yeah.
He's a Wisconsin guy.
Right.
I got to bring him in. So I'm going to jump and take that. Or Darnell Washington that fell. You're like, hey, 96.
The value is just too great.
It's too great. Yeah. You, they're not building his size and frame every day, and you let him slip to us, your fault.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more coverage from the NFL Combine. It's day one. It's hour five for us on Fox Sports Pittsburgh and Steeler Nation Radio. When we return, Jeff Hobson of Bengals.com joins us here at the Indiana Convention Center. We'll be back with more of our coverage right after this.
Live from the 2024 NFL Combine, this is Steelers Nation Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Indiana Convention Center in Indianapolis. It's the site of 2024 NFL Combine. Jerry Dulac along with Dale Lawley and Max Starks. But joined now by Jeff Hobson of Bengals.com, who joins us annually here at the Combine. How many Combines for you?
Several. We're going at
more than 10.
Probably past 25.
Yeah,
right?
No kidding.
Probably past
25. You got 25. Me beat.
Yeah, 20. This is my 25th with the club. So
and that, more. That long, you've been with the club that long?
Yeah.
2000. Wow.
Yeah, a long time. Great to be here with the upper crust of Pittsburgh sports writing, as well as with some Bengals royalty.
Yes.
Bengals royalty, Max
right.
Stacks.
Right. His dad was a longtime Bengal.
No question. A great one, too.
Yes, he was. Ross Brown. So I had the Bengals earmarked for three straight division titles.
Oh, nobody's ever done it. That's the amazing
I know.
Thing, right?
Yeah, I know. And all fell apart. Of course, when you lose a marquee quarterback, that's a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and it was times two. And remember, he just didn't have the wrist. Remember, the whole thing started the second day of camp with the calf. And, you know, they look at it, it took him about a month to get back. And he had a month, and it was quite a month. Beat Buffalo. It was a 4-0 month until the wrist. And, you know, beat Seattle on a tough one at home and then sifted San Francisco, you know, outplayed Purdy. And, then the next thing you know, it's and really, you know, they go 4-3 with Browning, which tells me the roster's in pretty good shape.
Yeah, and it was a different Browning
just
the second time around. Yeah,
just couldn't beat the Steelers. You know, if could have found a way to beat the Steelers once, but not even close.
Yeah, Steelers sweep the Ravens and the Bengals, 5-1 in the division.
Yeah, I mean that's. I know your guy gets a lot of heat up there, but
yes, he does.
He's a pretty good coach.
Yeah,
you know, 5-1 in 8-4 the last 2 years in that division.
Yeah.
And I think everybody forgets, like 2 years ago, the entire division was 3-3 against each other.
Yeah,
they all beat up on each other. I mean, it's
that's a tough thing because you know the Bengals were 1-5 in the division, and that's why they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah,
you know, and I know that's going to be it's going to be a talking point. Today, you know, when Duke Tobin and Zach Taylor take to the podiums, but you know, you can't panic. You know, I mean, with Joe Burrow, you're not going to be 1-5.
Yeah, it's like when the Steelers had Ben. As Max Wells knows well, you're never out of any game. You're never out of any season.
Right.
When you have that quarterback.
Right. And hopefully, you know, we got to put got to find a way to beat the Steelers because Mason Rudolph got us twice, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's got to figure
Actually, out. The first time was Kenny. The second
it was Kenny,
time it was
right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Sorry about that at all.
But
it's all, you know.
Your point was well taken. Yes.
But the thing with, you know, the thing with the division is there's a clear recipe, you know, that you need to win it. And it's the whole thing's turnovers because the games are so tightly. I mean, that's what decides it. Is that, you know, you can talk about rushing yards and sacks and all that, but if you don't turn it over, because the games are just going to be, you know, going in, they're going to be decided by 7 or less.
And I think that's something that people overlook to a certain degree with Pickett in particular, is that he doesn't turn the football over. Yeah, the touchdowns, you'd love to have more touchdown passes out of him. But the turnover, I mean, I think he had 4 turnovers all last year. In 12 games, which if you do that, to your point, you're not gonna lose many games. It's the way Burrow plays. He doesn't turn the ball over.
No. And when he does, had Baltimore on the ropes in the home opener and, going in for a big score, and he threw an end zone, he threw a red zone pick, which he very rarely does. But they got beat by 4 that decided the game, you know. Another 4-point division. I think every time we play Baltimore, I think it's 27-24. Yeah. You just don't know right. You just
Steelers
don't know.
Was always 16-13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
13-10.
Exactly.
You just don't know. Okay, who's gonna throw the pick in the fourth quarter? Because that's what it comes down.
And injuries at wide receiver didn't help either. T missed a few games. Right.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And we lost the big man in the middle. We didn't have the big man in the middle for that second Pittsburgh game. And anytime you go into a Pittsburgh game, I don't care how they are, if you don't have your big nose tackle, it's going to be a long day at the yard.
Now, so, is he expected to be?
DJ's a free agent.
Right.
DJ Reader, we're talking about. Yeah. He's a terrific player. He's meant so much to them. And he's a free agent. Plus, he's coming off quad surgery. They'd love to have him back, but you know how it is, man. You got Burrow's got the 275. You get the $22 million on T. You know, so money runs out quick. You know, and so
they feel like maybe they
get Jamar. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's another year for him.
Yeah, that's another year probably for Jamar. I mean, they'd like to get that done as soon as possible, but you know that might because he's coming. He's going into his fourth year.
Tyler Boyd's going to have to walk.
It's going to be hard to pay him.
Yeah.
You know, I keep hearing he's coming to your place.
That's because he went to Clayton High School in Pitt.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I think if they go wide receiver, it's going to be in a draft. I don't think they're going to go outside. But hey, I'm not going to say
what a great career. What a great career he had in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
One of the, you know, he passed T.J. Houshmandzadeh fourth on the all-time receptions list in that club. So that's a, you know, more than 500 catches.
Or as Deshae Townsend, you'd like to call him T.J. Pushmanzadeh.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So if you lose Reader, how do you replace that?
Yeah, probably you know you got to draft somebody. I think that's probably the first thing you're looking at. Maybe drafting two. You know,
you get some corner issues, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, you know, Woozie, probably, you know, they're trying to re-sign a Woozie. That's going to be hard. But, you know, they do have DJ Turner, the second-round pick last year from Michigan. He kind of tailed a little bit at the end of last year, but he really had a really good He can play in the league. He proved that. So I think with Cam Taylor, Britton, DJ Turner, you're pretty good there. Now you need, like everybody else in the league, you need a little bit of depth after that. But, you know, there's some – I think there's some – you know, you're probably going to draft another guy there too, I would think. And I think, you know, too, okay, everybody gets so excited about March, you know, in that March 16th, March 17th, and you get all these unbelievable deals. I kind of like – March 28th, 29th, 30th, you're down at the league meetings. There's the big wave, maybe the first couple weeks in April. Get some good players.
It's typically the Steeler way, even though they've kind of, quote, violated that the last couple of years. But typically that's the way they've always
done. You know, so now what will be there now with the cap so high?
Right.
Will you have that class of – that very good class of free agents that cost half as much? I don't know.
So does the inflated cap – help any of your veterans who they might not have been otherwise?
I would imagine. I would think it would help some, but I don't think it. When you got two receivers and a quarterback like that, I don't think I don't think it helps all that much.
Yeah, the scary thing I think for the if you're as a Bengals fan is watching what happens in Dallas, and if the receiver there gets $30 million. What's your guy going to want?
Well, which guy, too? There's
right,
two guys.
Yeah, exactly.
There's two number ones there.
Yeah.
But that's why, you know, and that's the other – well, with Burrow, do you need to draft – do you need to keep signing, you know, receivers at the top of the market? You know, you get a quarterback that can deliver the ball. But, you know, let's face it, that's why they're so great. It's because the receivers are so great, you know, and you get the great quarterback. So, you know, if you can keep both, you try. But, I mean – you got to stop them, too. And, you know, they've had some issues stopping people, you know. They kind of have to – C.J. Stroud came in, and that was probably their toughest loss of the year. Burrow was playing, and that stopped Houston beat them by a field goal at the gun. And that was the one game Burrow lost when he was healthy in that month stretch. And, you know, they couldn't stop the long ball. And, you know, they get – Steelers beat them on a couple long plays in Pittsburgh. So, you know, they've got to, you know, they've got to beef up, you know, some spots on defense too.
Yeah, and one of the things that's interesting because Jonah Williams, free agent as well, and both your key backups, Sharping and I'm drawing a blank on the third guy, Cody Ford.
Yep, Cody Ford.
Cody
right,
Ford.
Right.
So you got some depth issues that you kind of have to fill out as well because we know that that's been a big issue, right? Is the Bengals have really gone after going and getting Orlando Brown, and then shifting Jonah Williams, going and getting Alex Kappa, and you're really trying, you know, Bolson, you've gone at trying to really keep him protected, but now you kind of have a void there at the right tackle position. So is that a priority, you think, here, or you think that's a free agent?
No, I think that's probably, Max, that's a good question. I'm guessing that that's kind of, you're looking at 18 at that spot. Plus, and you would probably know better than I, but that position looks to be pretty deep this year.
Yeah.
So even if you don't get the guy at 18, you might be able to get him maybe in the second round. I mean, if it, because I think there's a crop of maybe three or four real, you know, tackles, and then it kind of drops a little bit.
Yeah.
So you know they're going, right? The first three are going, and then so you, it comes down to how do they think about that second tier guy, and then, you know, do they think, you know, do they go? I just think it's going to be a big man probably who comes off the board, be it offense or defense.
It could be the entire first round. Could be big men and cornerbacks.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much.
Well,
so.
And, I mean, it always is. Like, kind of, you get the quarterbacks out of the way in the first three.
Yeah.
Right? First three or four, and then
big men and cornerbacks.
Melee. Because you never can have enough offensive linemen. You can never have enough corners.
No, right. I mean, and that's, if you look at how this club has kind of attacked it, it's, you know, the, in the 2020s, and they've had a great run with free agency, you know, and they kind of attacked their corner, their corners, you know, they've got second round corners, DJ Turner, Cam Taylor Britt, you know, they spent a lot of money in free agency on Awuzie and Hilton. So, you know, they've treated that as a, you know, they've treated that as a premium.
Still high on Mike Hilton.
Oh,
they
yeah,
are.
Yeah. I think so. I mean,
he's a great nickel guy,
you know, and he's very versatile, and, they got an interesting dynamic with Dax Hill, who might not be a real natural safety, but, you know, maybe, you know, could they flop him and Hilton? Could Dax do a little bit of what
I
Hilton
loved
does,
him as a nickel,
you know,
in the draft,
and that's what he
draft.
Is. Yeah. I mean, that's what he played at Michigan. Yeah. Right? But he's a tremendous player. I mean, he's a tremendous athlete, and he can do it all. I think they're thinking, and Duke Tobin said this at the Senior Bowl last month, he can do everything, but we want him to do one thing well. We want to find out what that is. So, I don't know. Do they move things? You know, Hilton played a little bit of safety this year. You know, so he's just he can really. You know, Mike's meant so much. He was a captain this year. He's meant so much to the team.
He's a football player.
Yeah, I mean, he's exactly what they need. And you know, a guy like that, the position he plays, he's going to be. You know, he's not going anywhere. You know, he's maybe getting a little bit. You know, was he 27? He's 2016. I think he came out of 2016 undrafted, I think. So, but you know, he's, you know, you don't have to be a decathlete to do what he does. He's doing it on brains and positioning.
Do you think active in free agency? You think in terms of bringing people in? I mean,
I think it's tough. I think usually, I mean, if you just go look at history, when they have the veteran quarterback, you know, they keep their own.
Right.
You know, I think that's. And that's, I think that's where we are now. You know, you're not, if you get a free agent splash, it's because they kept one of their guys.
Which is the way typically the Steelers operate.
They operate very much alike. You know, Duke Tobin and Kevin, you know, they were good friends. They'd known each other along the way in a scouting trail. I think they probably saw things probably a little bit, a little bit the same way. And, you know, the Browns and the Rooneys. Known each other a long time, you know, and I think they probably borrowed a little bit from each other, you know, a lot of respect there, a lot of mutual respect there. So it's really no surprise that there's,
you keep that thinking up. They might have a couple division titles in their possession. Oh, wait a minute. They just didn't have a couple. You know, I'm shocked that there's no Boston background in you with, I can't tell when we talk to you.
I'm a Cincinnati guy though. You know,
that's amazing.
I've been in Cincinnati since, 1990.
And you were at the Inquirer, correct?
Yeah, I was at the Post first.
Post.
Yeah, I killed that paper. Then I went.
it's like me. I went from the Press to the Post Gazette.
Yeah, then I went to the Inquirer.
Wasn't it a Scripps Howard?
It was a Scripps Howard because.
Just like me.
Yeah, right. It was a Pittsburgh Press. Right?
Yes, yeah, correct.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And it was some really good Steelers writers there, too.
Absolutely.
I think,
a lot of good writers. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of them lost their jobs because the Press was the bigger paper.
Steve
they
Hubbard.
Eventually sold. He left because he didn't get taken on. That's right.
Yeah, Steve Hubbard was really good.
Yeah. Always good seeing you, my friend.
Great seeing you guys. Max, yeah, always good to see you, man.
Always good to see you too, Jeff. Yes,
I'll see you, man. I'll talk to you.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jeff, guys.
Jeff Hobson of Bengals.com. 25 years with the club, huh?
24, but 25th season in Combine. You know how that works.
Yeah.
Peter Warwick. It'll be 24 years. Peter Warwick Day, April 15th, 2000.
Okay, Peter Warwick.
Wow. So that was my first day on the job.
Yeah. How about that?
That was a heck of an athlete.
I date you a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I think they took Warwick fourth, and the Steelers took Plaxico Burress eighth. I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right. In 2000, right?
But I can't find my car keys. I know that, but I don't know where my car or where I or where I packed it.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. We will come back with more from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis right after this. You're listening to Fox Sports Pittsburgh and Steeler Nation Radio.
This is continuing coverage of the 2024 NFL Combine live from Indianapolis on Steelers Nation Radio.
All right, we're back. Thanks to Jeff Hobson of Bengals.com. I asked him if he expected the Bengals to be active in free agency. Max, Steelers have been very active the last 2 years in free agency, surprisingly. Do you expect them to be that active, given that every starter on offense is back, although Mason Cole now is not, and most of your starters on defense are back, but there are some holes. And you know how it works. They use free agency to offset the emergency needs in the draft.
Yeah.
How busy or lack of busy do you think they'll be?
I think they'll be value hunters this time around. I think you kind of made big splashes the last couple of years. And so I think now, you know, like Jeff was talking about, right, that end of March, beginning of April, second wave. And that's where the guys didn't get what they thought they were worth, which we talked about Ramon, right? Hey, I think I'm worth this. Well, you might want to think more here just to be in reality.
Well, all the players that are going to be free agents just saw the cap go up by $30 million.
Yeah.
So now they're thinking, you know, the dollar signs start clicking in your head a little bit.
Yeah, they do until you start realizing that, okay, well, who's the quarterback on this team?
Yeah.
Right. It's like that money's chewed up, so they don't have to restructure.
Like he just pointed up with Joe Burrow. Right.
Yeah. Like you know, there's a little less restructuring going on, or it's not as great of a restructure. So, I mean, it is a value, but I think for the Steelers, where we're looking, especially inside linebacker, because you're gonna dabble in both, and then for defensive linemen, you know, if somebody comes up of value that can add depth to that defensive line, and then of course. Surprise if there's a safety that falls.
I really, yeah. really like the safety group that's available in free agency this year. And they're not all going to get paid. It's just there's like 20 guys there who are starters.
Yeah.
And that just seems to be that position.
Like running back, right? Yeah. You know, it's just there's not a high value placed on them. And like you said, when you have a lot to choose from, we're not going to go break the bank for you. And I think those guys will be more amenable as free agency wears on, where you can get value.
Once you start to see the musical chairs happen and seats start being taken, you know,
and you're just like, got to get what I can because I need to be on a roster,
right?
You know, as a true unrestricted free agent. So I think they will be. I just don't think they'll be as active as they have been the last 2 years. I think Omar, Sheldon, and Andy and them have done a lot to really bolster and turnover. I mean, you think about last year, right? Out of 95 guys, we have 54 new faces,
right?
So
they
did a big turnover last year. I don't think they're going to try and do an overhaul again this year.
And you look at they don't have any really significant free agent losses. Yeah. Mason Rudolph and Miles Killebrew are probably the two biggest on the list. And you know they're going to re-sign Miles Killebrew, I would imagine. Special teams captain, pro bowler.
Yep.
Right, absolutely. And Mason is amenable to coming back. He's amenable to checking what's out there. And with all due respect to Mason, I don't think teams are going to be lining up to sign him. That's what people in Pittsburgh think. But I still think, all that aside, his best opportunity is still here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, because he proven track record. You're a drafted guy here. Hell, I called your name in the draft the year you were drafted. Him and Chooks in the third round. I think he likes Pittsburgh. I think he likes the comfortability of it. And like you said, the ceiling for him as far as expectations is still relatively low. Like, they're not expecting him to be day one starter. You got to come in and be 5 years committed to this. You'll be able to get a 2-year deal done with him. That's going to be similar to Mitch Trubisky, a little bit above that. And I think
I think it might end up below it, but nonetheless.
Somewhere in that region, right? I mean, because they're going to look at the resume and say, hey, what have you done for me? That got us to the playoffs. I was going to say that's worth a little bit of a bump in the old scratch game.
And there's probably, Dale, there's probably not too many places, if any, where he's going to go where he would have a better opportunity to maybe morph into the starting role than what he has here, because he has a lot of the teammates on his side, the coaches who were there on his side, even people in the front office on his side who know that if Kenny Pickett would struggle early in the year, you know, Rice, it's going to be
quick.
Yeah.
And you've got a new offensive coordinator in Arthur Smith who was there when they made the move in Tennessee for Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
To Tannehill.
That's right.
Yeah. That was after six games. You know, they pulled the plug on that. And, you know, the Titans weren't struggling as a team at that point.
No.
They just said, you know what, this guy was better in the preseason, we're going to make the switch.
And the other thing too, Max, you know, the one thing of people now, it's funny, all the people who with all the hype over Kenny Pickett has now turned to pessimism about it, and all the people who had him in the Hall of Fame are now calling him a bust. He is not that. The guy's 14-10 as a starter. You go back to the end of his rookie season to the beginning of last year, he's 12-5 in that 17-game window. That's possibly a number one seed, if you will.
Yeah.
So it's not like they can't win with him. It's just that some of the product in terms of point production.
I was going to say the numbers aren't beautiful.
That's right.
He's not a fantasy football friendly quarterback.
No, and in many ways,
out the hard way.
And in many ways, he could be like Neil O'Donnell, and that you can win with him. But how far are you going to go with them? And that's why year three is really big for him and really big for the Steelers evaluating him.
Yeah, and that's why you don't jump at every shiny new toy right now, because you know it takes 3 years to really know what you have at a quarterback. And especially now that you're switching the system. And regardless of where we're at right now, it can't be any worse than what he was in. And he still succeeded within the confines of that system. So give him an earnest shot at being the guy with a brand new system, fresh start, right? You know, and see what you can have with him. I think, and Mason gives a security blanket for the Steelers. He also gives a competitive push, that nudge that he's going to need,
right,
by having him there. And you're still going to go get somebody else, because you still got to have three or four. You have to have four quarterbacks on the roster going into training camp.
Right.
That's what you have to have regardless. So whether you bring one in a free agency, you draft a couple here, like, you're going to have to fill out that spot to get to 95 by the time OTA starts. So why not have at least somebody in-house that's familiar face, right? Cheers. Walk in, it's Norm, right? That's what Mason Rudolph is. Hey, Norm, all right. And then bring in some new faces and see how it works, you know, depending on the draft. But fill your holes and those necessary things. I think Mason and Miles will be both targets of them. You're talking about free agency, you know, activity. It'll be keeping in-house and then finding the value later in the signing period.
In terms of learning a new offense, how difficult is that? Under today's constraints, with how many times you can practice, and how much of that's going to fall on the players themselves to study outside of the norm?
It's going to fall a lot on them. I mean, that's why, you know, the advent of what quarterbacks bring guys to wherever they are, and hey, we're gonna stay at my crib in San Diego, and we're gonna throw, you know, two times a day for 2 weeks. You know, Tom Brady kind of popularized this type of deal, but guys were doing this beforehand. But I think that's where it comes in, you know, getting your quarterback and your wide receiver in this playbook, giving them a copy of it, you know, digital or however, and we need to work through this system so that when we come back for training camp from OTAs, we're better suited to hit the ground running. And for offensive and defensive linemen, like, talking with your boys, like, you know, if you need to do a Zoom or FaceTime and kind of go through this, you know, whoever the center's going to be, and getting into a rhythm so that the terminology, because that's the biggest thing, it's always terminology. Even though a new OC coming in tries to keep the old terminology, and you have a lot of the coaching staff intact from the previous, so there's going to be more of an onus for Arthur Smith to really get into their system versus bringing in his brand new system, but still going to be some new things. We have a new wide receiver coach. We got some new guys, that new faces on the offense. So it's going to be melding those. And I think that's the time now that they're getting that out the way, so that when they present to the players, it's cohesive and it's one band, one sound from the coaching staff. And you don't have any outliers. I don't like this, or this sounds messed up. I mean, because I remember getting that when we went from Russ to Coach Zuerlein. You're like, this makes no sense. I'm like, this is how we've done it for 3 years. And by the way, we won a Super Bowl doing this exact thing. So let's be a little more amenable, coach, with understanding this, the way that we at least call things. Cause I mean, even then for my unit, especially for offensive line, we make up our own terminology anyways. So there's going to be a terminology that the offensive coordinator knows. Oh, this is a deuce. This is an ace. This is a backside slip. We're going to be like, hey, it's a Tui. It's a Tui. Because you're like, the D lineman already know what it is. Hey, sugar, sugar, sugar. That means set off the ball. We're going to create our own, because that's just offensive lineman play. Because if we're communicating, the defense is hearing that. They know what a deuce block is. They know what a tray block is.
Right.
So it's like we have to kind of change it up. You know, I'll never forget, we switched for the hard count for three. Because Chris Kimiyatu could never remember three. And we couldn't say, hey, Chris, on three. Or we couldn't say hard count. So we were like, toi, toi. And he was like, what does that mean? I said, we just told you. It's French for three. Stop it. And we're like, well, how about this? Trey. He's like, no, that sounds like a block on the front side. And it's also Trey Essex's name. I can't do that. So we kept going. So you know, we have the – and it's like, okay, we got to settle on something that throws – that doesn't tip the other squad. So that's usually the toughest transition for a lot of guys, especially with the new OC.
And you know, and we only have a minute left, but that's why I thought it was important really to bring back Mike Sullivan, because one, the players, the quarterbacks just love the guy. He obviously was the play caller and ran that offense. But to have him for that transition period, I think, for the exact reasons you said, is very big.
Yeah, and he knows the personnel.
That's what I mean.
Art doesn't know that personnel. So he knows, hey, Broderick Jones can run a tackle counter. I probably wouldn't run it with Dan Moore. So let's think about it in this. How do we get some formations to flip it that, even though we're showing window dressing, because that's what he likes. So, it's very important to have that continuity and carryover between coordinators.
Well, you got one more hour before your nap. Is that what you said?
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
Correct.
Dale has two more hours. Is that correct?
I get two more.
Matt Williamson comes back in here, right?
Jumping back in.
And I leave.
Right.
And I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Exactly. Well, enjoy your day, Jerry.
I will. I still got work to do. I have to go do the other kind of work that
okay.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
is.
Not leaving. Don't get
there
that's right.
Yeah.
So, and then we will turn it over to hour six of our coverage today, day one at the NFL Combine. For my co-host Dale Lawley and Max Starks, I'm Jerry Dulek. Stay right where you are. There's more NFL Combine coverage coming your way on Fox Sports Pittsburgh and Steeler Nation Radio.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.